Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah. A-Dream. In the building. Shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in. Look.
Yes, sir.
Look. We came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging that gold, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you the message.
So welcome to the life of Bree, breaking down relationships to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
From politics to the current events, economics to race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
Coming to you live and streaming to all four points of the globe. It's your girl, Brooklyn born and Crown Heights raised. Living life and breathing life. It's Bree, baby.
Well, peace and blessings. It's the Bree Life Radio Show, and I'm your girl, Bree. And I'm fortunate enough two nights in a row to be joined with my co-host, Red Sable. How you doing,
everybody.
Red?
Hello.
Hello.
Okay. How's it going?
Oh, my gosh. It's going. Today was a great day.
Good.
Because first, God blessed me just waking up. So I have to be thankful for that. But it was a nice day. It was a chilly day outside.
Yeah, it was.
So tell me, Red.
I like the fall weather. The fall weather is great. I like the fall because I like all the new fall gear and, you know, the new fashions. I'm a fashionista, so I love clothes. I'm a freak for shoes and booties and ankle boots and all that other kind of stuff. So when fall comes around, you can really get down with your gear.
Absolutely. I got down so much with my gear, I had to put it in storage. And when I went to get it, I couldn't even put it away. I have about 15 coats and leather jackets sitting on the outside of my closets because I don't have no space. I have to get creative with the space.
Yeah.
So that's what's going. That's pretty much what I've been doing today. And I've been doing some maintenance. I always feel good when I get my hair washed and stuff like that. So, but we're not here just to talk about me, even though I have my own personal freestyle for tonight. That's going to be very controversial, so I want everyone to chime in. But firstly, I want to remind everyone to follow me on Twitter at Bree Life Radio, to follow me at Facebook, Bree Life Radio. Personal friends, you know how to find me on my personal page. Also, I have been receiving a lot of emails since last night. Firstly, I want to thank everyone for welcoming me back with open arms. And we had a great show last night. We had such a good show that by popular demand, we had to bring one of our guests back. And that was Carl Joseph. Carl Joseph of Jericho Roads. He's the program director of this very needed domestic violence organization, and he'll be joining us in a few minutes. I just want to, if I could, take the time. Last night, I gave a Get Well blessing to a sister girl at arms who grew up in Crown Heights with me by the name of Donna Lee Berry. her mother was in the hospital. She wasn't doing very well. So, you know, we at the Bree Life Radio Show, we wanted to send our peace and blessings and get well wishes. And it's my understanding that Ms. Berry will be coming home from the hospital tomorrow. So that is wonderful news.
Mm-hmm.
Just wanted to share that with the listeners. And also thank Donna Lee for supporting the Bree Life Radio Show. Tell me, Red, how was your day today?
Very busy. A bunch of running around and trying to take care of some things that needed to be taken care of and trying to stay a little warm in the crisp weather and folks who don't have great attitudes. But, you know, I got through it.
You had your adjustment stick out today?
Yeah, just a couple of things. But
I hear you.
Stuff roll off. You know, I tweeted the other day that I'm freeing myself of all the bitchy blockers or something that I tweeted. It was real crazy. Something I went through this thing because I don't know. I just don't understand people. Why do they have to take their bad energy and just pollute the air and make everybody else miserable because they're having a bad moment out there? So, yeah.
Wow.
Put them in check and let it go.
Yeah, let it go, let go, let flow.
Absolutely.
Well, another thing that's going to be happening tonight on our call, on our show, our other guest from last night, Derek, who is the subject, one of the 45 people who are of subject matter to my book on internet dating that'll be coming out in January 2013, so people look for it. But before you can look for it, I'm lobbying and campaigning for help with a title because I'm a little stumped. And what I'll do next week, I'll share with you about 3 or 4 titles that I came up with. You can vote on it. Or if you have some better suggestions, you know how to reach me. Send me your suggestions to BriLifeRadio@gmail.com. That's BriLifeRadio@gmail.com. So Derek will be joining us tonight because he shared with me today that he was a little dismayed with you, Red.
What? I why? Because
yeah,
I don't.
Yeah, well, why? You'll find out in a little while. Because he has something to say to you, and
open. I am open.
Okay. So, you know, people on the Bree Life Radio Show, we like to come with the controversy and provocative conversations. So, stay tuned because it'll be happening in a few minutes.
Well, I'm a well-versed debater. I love it, so bring it.
All right.
Okay.
Let's see. What else do I want to revisit again? I want to remind people again that October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So please, you know, I don't support any particular organization. I know there's the Avon Walk and a whole bunch of other organizations that provide funding for breast cancer awareness and new technology and medical funding. So find an organization, research, and support them because it's a well worthwhile cause to support. Let's see. What else do we want to talk about on the freestyle? Because you know how we get down on the freestyle. It just all comes ad hocly. Oh, here's something that I also want to mention. I have about, I'm fortunate enough to have about, I don't know, maybe 700 or 800 Facebook friends. Mm-hmm. And out of those 700 or 800 Facebook friends, there are many of you all that support me or the show, and I send weekly text out to you just to remind you that the show is airing on Wednesday or Thursday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and how to call in or how to listen to the show via the internet. There has been, and just recently today, there's one individual that sent me a text and said, stop. Stop sending them the text messages. Here's all I'm going to say. What is Facebook for? Facebook is a tool to be utilized to communicate and share information with your friends, or for lack of a better title, friends. And I don't see anything wrong with me sending the text just to remind you about the show. It happens once or twice a week. If you do not want to support the show, or you don't particularly care for the text messages, do me a favor. Block me. Because for me to remove you as a friend on, or unfriend you, let's use the the politically correct term, to unfriend you on Facebook just because you don't want to receive the text messages from me, I think is a little, is going a bit too far. So I would ask that my friends on Facebook would just be a little patient, because mm-hmm. I'm sure they receive text messages from friends that have their telephone number that they don't even want to hear from. So they can tolerate my once or twice a week text. That's my first initial freestyle for today. What's your freestyle, Red? Come on, girl. Tell the truth, shame the devil. I know you got a good freestyle.
My freestyle is appreciating beautiful black men.
Well, you want to expand before we go to commercial break?
I'm going to expand. I want to give a shout-out to all beautiful brothers who are making it happen at home and at work for their children, their significant others, and all those who brought light into their lives, that they are spreading that light. That's my freestyle. I want to support that. I know sometimes I come off a little hard.
Absolutely.
So that's my freestyle. Love y'all.
Okay. All right. So another thing I want to mention, that my next freestyle will be about, I'm not going to expand on it before we go to commercial break, but I will let you guys know what it is. And it's something that recently happened to me, and I'm just really pissed off about it. And that is maintaining friendships with the opposite sex when you have either entered into a new relationship or recently got married. Do you think that there's anything wrong with being, with continuing a friendship that you've had for some time, whether it be several months or several years, and now this new person comes into your life and they seem to have a problem with your friendship or friendships with the person of the opposite sex? I would love to hear from you people. So in order for me to hear from you, you gotta call. So call into 424-220-1862. That number again is 424-220-1862. My My Facebook page is also up, so if you want to chime in and message me on Facebook, I'm logged in. You can also contact me on the blogtalkradio.com/BreeLife chat box. So I would love to hear from you. But in the meanwhile, what we're going to do right now, we're going to take a commercial break. And when we return, we are going to discuss maintaining friendships with the opposite sex when you have either entered in a new relationship and the person has a problem with it, when we return from this commercial break.
It is important for you to get your healthy dose of the Bree Life Radio Show, because when you miss the Bree Life Radio Show, you miss moments like this.
And of course, there's those are there that get mad for holding matrimony. They got mad for holding matrimony.
And this?
The reason why a certain group of women attract themselves to internet dating is so that they can lie, lie, and lie.
We can't forget about this.
I had a stalker. Had to get an order of protection. You got a woman that you've been with for 7 years, so you do it. You know what's up, right?
Come on, Bree. Don't stop it.
It's real talk about real life. Inhale and breathe light.
So let's take that deep breath in, because we're about to go in.
It's the Bree Life Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. Catch us at blogtalkradio.com/BreeLife. Breathe Light. Welcome back to the Bree Life.
That's right, baby. Welcome back to the Bree Life. And
yes,
I'm your girl, Bree. And I'm being joined tonight again with my co-host, Red Sable.
Yes, that's me.
That's you. That would be you.
That is me.
Well, are you ready, people? Do you want to hear what happened to me? Well, I had a friend. And, of course, because if you know me, you know that most of my friends happen to be of the opposite sex.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And this individual recently got involved with a woman whom he told me at first he really wasn't digging for whatever reason. But, you know, I want everyone, including myself, more specifically, to be happy, to find our match in every way and to be happy. And I said, look, if you put the line in the middle of the page and the cons are outweighing the pros, then, you know, you got to say the things that need to be said, because we are all older now. We are in our second half. Those who are in their 40s, you are in your second half.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not time to waste time. You should be with your match in most every way. And he was like, yeah, I don't know if this is going to work out. And then about a week after we had that conversation, he came to me and said, you know, Bree, I got a little problem. And I was like, what's up? And he was like, she has a problem with you. I was like, huh? She got a problem with me. Why'd she have a problem with me? I said, what did you tell her? I said, did you give her some indication that, you know, there could potentially be something going on with you and I? I said, because you know that ain't nothing going on between you and I. You are in the friend zone. And mm-hmm. once you get in the friend zone, you do not come out of it. That's my rule.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, that's my rule. I have never been with anyone yet of my 40-plus years on the earth surface that I've been friends with solely that was in the friend zone, and they managed to work their way out of it.
Hmm.
So he says to me, I showed her your picture, and I told her, you know, how we met, how we became friends, and she just gave me an ultimatum. I said, really? Well, what was the ultimatum? He said, well, she told me it had to either be her or you. I said, okay, so when she posed you with that ultimatum, what did you do? And he was like, well, you know, I told her I shouldn't have to give up my friend and yada, 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 and blah, 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 blah. So then one day I saw him again. He showed me the text message, and I was like, okay, well, you have to make a decision. If you're feeling this woman, then you need to, you know, you need to, and you want to still maintain your friendship with me, you have to honestly figure out a way how you can navigate both without being dishonest about it. Because you shouldn't have to be. I said, the only thing I'm going to tell you is that vote your own conscience. Whatever you decide, I will accept. But see, with me, Red, as I'm sure with mm-hmm. you, mm-hmm. it's not just what you do. It's how
yep.
you do it.
It's how you do it.
Okay? Absolutely. It's how you do it. Okay. So one day, I'm driving on the FDR, and my car is about to break down. But before my car was about to stall and break down, I you know, I'm driving, so I'm going uptown. So by the time I got to like 23rd Street, I said, you know what? Let me call so and so because I could, you know, the talking on the phone makes the drive go faster. To me, I don't know. So I call my friend. Because I know I got a good 30 minutes with him because he liked to run his mouth like me. So I called my friend, see how he's doing, because I called him earlier in the week and his phone was disconnected. So I was like, well, let me check on him again. And when I called him, I left a message. Then 2 minutes later, I'm at 34th Street. No, I'm sorry. I'm at around 61st Street. On the FDR, and he says to me, he calls me back, and he was like, all abrasive now. What do you want? What? I'm with your girlfriend, Donald. I'm with my girlfriend, Donald. What do you want?
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. I mean, me. He said, what do you want? I'm with my girlfriend, Donna. I'm answering the phone because I don't want her to think that I can't answer the phone.
Wow.
Because you're calling. I said, you know what? You really need to work this situation out. This is crazy. And I said, furthermore, how you talking to me is crazy. I said, but I'll see you one day. I'm gonna see you. And you're gonna have to deal with this with me. So the next time I talked to him, he was like, well, I had to talk to you like that because, you know, oh, I'm sorry. There's a part that I was missing. By the time he called me back, my car started hesitating. So when he called me, he was like, yeah, what's going on? What's going on? I said, well, nothing was going on until a couple of seconds ago. It seems like my car is hesitating. And I said, God help me if I get stuck on the FDR, because anyone who lives in New York City that knows what the FDR is, it's Harlem River Drive. It's on the east side. It's the major highway, how you get north and south of from all the way from Brooklyn to the Bronx, and there's no shoulder to pull over should your car break down. So if my car stops, now I'm holding up traffic. That's the last thing I want to do on the FDR.
Very annoying.
Okay? So he was like, well, I can't help you. I can't help you because I'm with my girlfriend, Donna. I said, excuse me? I don't want your help. I wasn't calling you because I'm stuck. I said, I called you 30 minutes ago because I called you last week and it appeared that your phone was disconnected. And, I just wanted to make sure you was okay. So, people out there, I want to hear from you. What do you think about the concept of having to give up your friends of the opposite sex because you're in a new relationship? Now, I'm going to tell you, when I was married, when we were dating, I told my ex-husband, I have several friends that I grew up with that are of the opposite sex. They're my very good friends. I have friends that I have made as a result of working in IT, which is a male-dominant industry, and we're crazy cool. We go out on Thursday, Fridays after work, and these are my friends. And I said, I'm not giving up my friends. Do you have a problem with that? And he said no. You know why? Because when we had dinner parties, when we had game night, when we had barbecues and pool parties and holiday parties, I always invited my friends, regardless of what the gender was. And I introduced them to my husband. And my husband was comfortable with that because he knew that I could be trusted. And he was secure in who he was. So why should there be a problem? That's only a problem for people who are insecure.
Absolutely.
So that's my freestyle. And you know what's unfortunate? He lost a good friend.
Sucks to be him.
And I feel like I lost a good friend. It's not one-sided. I feel a loss to a certain degree. But if he could be that influenced by you-know-what, that it may not even work out. Now he's going to lose his woman, and he done lost his friend. What do you all think about that? I want to hear from you first, Red, and then we're going to take our caller.
Well, I have a philosophy that your friend is your friend is your friend. If he's going to be your friend or not, I tend to have quite a few male friends as well. Some of them have women that are either their wives or their girlfriends. We've been friends before they were married, during their marriages, after their marriages, and I've always been introduced into the fact that we're friends. We are friends. I have not slept with these people. Now, there has been, I might say that there's maybe a couple or two that I was friends with after our relationship broke up, and then I still remain friends with them. So those are those people that I've known for 10, 12 years, known for many, many years. And we do have these conversations about relationships and how they want to fix the relationship because they're not really feeling the chick that they're with and all this other stuff that's going on. But our friendship always remained the same. I have a problem with men who can't introduce their female friends into their relationships because to me it feels like you're hiding something. And if you're not open and honest with the woman that you claim that you're involved with, that you do have female friends, and when we're on the phone, you whispering and stuff, what the hell are you doing? We're not screwing. Why are you whispering? Then we can't be friends. So more times than not, I will cut off the friendship before they even are told to. So I automatically have an issue with people who feel like either they're hiding the insecurities of her or they themselves are doing dirt. So they're sneaking around and then they want to throw you into the equation. So now it looks like you and him is doing something. You and him ain't doing nothing. And that's why I have an issue with that. I always have an issue with people who can't be open and honest up front. When men that I date come into my life, I completely tell them off the bat, I have male friends. Either you can deal with it or you can't, but I'm not going to play some high school game about, oh, all my friends, I can't talk to y'all no more because I'm in love. I got a man. And he don't like that. That's ridiculous. I'm not doing that.
It is ridiculous. When we come back, we're going to take off. We're going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we are going to take our first call, and that call is from 347-724. The number 347-724. Caller, I thank you for your patience. We'll be answering your call in just a moment, but we're going to take a commercial break, and thank you for tuning in to the Bree Life Radio Show.
This one's for you, Alex Stoney and Gigi, the representative. You know, the person who is, but they ain't. Now, remember, the representative can be good. They might be able to represent for 4 years or might get her done in 2 weeks. They have a sparkling smile, best foot forward, great humor. The one you want to take home to mama. But if you got a minute, stick around. You'll get a chance to see the frog, ribbit, ribbit, swallow your princess. You were just in the fitting room, getting ready for that wedding. Okay, now, I'm going to need you to hold your horses. Slow down. You got to know that all that glitters ain't gold. It ain't even gold-plated. So this is what I'm going to need you to do. Start seeing who's in front of you before they get under you. This has been Mark Said It in under a minute.
What a novel idea. And we're back. This is the Bree Life Radio Show, and guess what? It's Thursday, people, and we are freestyling. And I'm joined tonight with my co-host, Red Sable.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. And we were just talking about, before we went to commercial break, my freestyle for tonight, and that was regarding having to give up your friends when you're now in a new relationship. But the twist is, you got to give up your friend that happens to be of the opposite sex. So we're going to take our first caller of the evening. This caller is calling from 347-724, and you are on the Bree Life Radio Show. Peace and blessings.
Hey, what's up? Welcome back. You don't recognize my number?
Oh, my gosh. How
Lord,
are you? Peace and blessings.
Hell, welcome back. Red, what's going on?
Hi. How are you?
All right.
This
I'm doing
Daryl.
All right.
This is Daryl. Hi, Daryl. How are you?
This is Daryl.
I think this is Daryl.
This is Ricky.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. You know what? You sound like Daryl Taylor. I'm sorry. This is...
I was just waiting for you to catch on. I wasn't saying nothing.
Oh, my goodness. So this is...
I'm surprised.
This is my
brother.
I feel
like I'm in jail. I'm nothing but a number, right?
Oh, my God. No, we don't want... I don't want you to be a number.
724. Yeah, 347-724. That's my number. Yeah, okay.
Oh, God, no. Well, people, you are listening to the vocal style of Ricky. What's going on?
Ain't nothing. I'm sitting here listening to you. And as always, I'm glad to hear that you're back.
Thank you.
We missed you when you were gone. You know, and you just didn't have that stimulating conversation since you've been gone, so I'm glad you're back.
Well, thank you very much.
Before we get into the conversation, I would like to let you know that I am personally very aware of breast cancer and donating. I do it all the time in the supermarkets. I always donate in every supermarket I go to. I donate money. And I even do it through the telephone a lot of times because they call the house at times about breast cancer, donation for breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always aware of those things, you know. So, all right.
Well, thank you.
But what do you want me to answer here?
Well, I mean, listen, you had the preempted conversation about this topic a couple of weeks ago, because, of course, you know, since you're my brother and we kind of close like that, I call you screaming and yelling about, about certain things, about about the brothers, whether we dating or not. They just cuckoo-loo-loo. But anyway, what do you think about this subject?
Yeah, I think it's immature, you know. And if anybody, if you can't, if my wife knows about every female friend I have, and a lot of them were friends before we got together, and I've had some since we've been together. It is what it is, you know what I'm saying? If she don't trust me to have female friends, or friends of anything at this point, we have nothing. Same way if she has male friends. Sometimes I talk to friends she had, male friends I run into or talk to. I go, yo, call your girl. You know, she be asking about you. She like to hear from you. So I don't see what the problem is with that. Anyone has a problem with that, that's totally immature. And I'm not going to let anyone dictate who I should be friends with because you're uncomfortable. If you're uncomfortable, that's your problem, not mine. Because as long as I haven't done anything to make you uncomfortable, you haven't caught me messing around or cheating or any of that other stuff, then you have no reason to feel like that.
Well, you see, here's the problem, too. First of all, I think he was goading her on. This is my, I mean, you know, I read
That's
you
what
a
it
woman.
Sound like.
You know, I want you to tell me what you think. And I want the listeners to call in or go into our chat room and tell me what you think. First of all, you know, I ain't gonna brag or nothing, but you know, I'm kind of easy on the eye, okay? Why in the world would you show her my picture? That's number one. Number two, I believe he said to her, if I'm not mistaken, you know, he said to her, if you know, Bree would give me a shot, I probably would have been dating her. Because he met me before he met her. And when I put him in the friend zone, he continued to date. So in him continuing to date, he met this young lady. So why would you tell a woman that you potentially trying to get with about a female friend that you have that you're that you would have been interested in had she given you a shot? And then to put the cherry on the top, you're going to show her a picture of her.
That was just retarded.
I mean, was that really necessary?
No, it wasn't necessary to even go there. You don't have to get into what kind of relationship you had with that person. You don't have to go showing pictures and all kind of nonsense. Because people will get intimidated if they know that person looks good. Because bottom line is in the back of everybody's mind just about is when you have friends or so-called friends, whatever, then sometimes there's attractions. It may not be all the way around, but sometimes there's attractions. And they know that. And if they see a picture of someone who looks good or probably look bad in them, they're going to get intimidated. You know, oh, he might, you know, he might leave me for her. They're really not looking at the fact that, you know, if me and her would have worked out or if me and her had something going, then you wouldn't even be here. You know what I mean? They're not even looking at it like that. But they figured, you know, I'm with you now and, you know, there's always a chance he can come in and grab you. Okay, so you shouldn't even really be with that person. You feel anybody can walk up in there and grab them at any time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so... You know, that to me, that was just a little, that was immature in itself. You know, you don't have to egg on the woman or try to convince her that there's nothing really there and all kind of stuff. Because to me, when you do all that, it's because there is something there.
And he sounds like he was self-sabotaging anyway. He's self-sabotaging the relationship before he even goes anywhere. He's already telling her from the beginning, you're second best, second choice. I really don't want you, but I'm going to deal with you because I can't have what I really want. That should have put a warning sign to her. But she continues to stay, so that's on her. I'm sure you're not.
Mm-hmm.
When a man does that with one woman, he's got several other women, and he's done that to her with other women too. You know what I mean? Like, you're not the, you are one of many that I am sure he is going to develop a pattern with, throwing at her face, talking about,
mm-hmm.
oh, remember when I told you about so-and-so-and-so, I saw her in the supermarket. Oh, yeah, I was at the club and I saw so-and-so. And he's going to be doing that to her all the time because she accepts it. So their relationship ain't going to go anywhere. And then later on, when it does go down, he's going to call you and he's going to say, damn, remember I told you it wasn't going to work out? Well, guess what?
I don't want to even, you listen, anybody who know me, no, you really only get one shot to get this right, you know, because I'm not one who supports going back. I really don't. And I don't care if it's friendship. I will forgive you because I'm a forgiving person, which is a show that we're going to talk about in the near future. But I do not go back.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
you shouldn't
have to take steps backwards.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Whatever. You should never have to really take steps backwards. But, well, let me clarify something on my part that I heard you say a little earlier when you spoke about, friendships and stuff. You know, you've never dated anyone who was your friend first and blah, 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 and so forth and so on. Now, that may be you, but in a lot of instances, you know, people who are best friends and stuff like that, sometimes the slightest thing can turn that to just not friendship love, but now being in love with each other. It happens. And it's nothing like falling in love with your best friend.
I absolutely support that.
Okay.
Let me finish.
Best friends, it's like a relationship I may have, you know, my best friend right now is my wife. But I have a very good friendship with Red, a very good friendship with Scarlett, friend to you, what we call our, we are brothers and sisters. That's how we look at it. That's how we talk. But it doesn't mean that those things couldn't have changed somewhere down the line. And married folks will kill for what we have as friendship, as friends. They will kill for that in their marriage. To have someone that you could confide in, that you go to every time you have a problem, that you trust totally, that's what marriage is about. So I feel personally that you could be best of friends and turn around and fall in love. You know what I'm saying? It happens. You know? So I don't dismiss that or not. You know, it has to be some kind of attraction. Attraction is not always about physical. It's mental.
Right.
You know, it's conversation, it's knowing that person is there for you. We sometimes look at people and we go, she a good looking. What's she doing with that ugly dude? You know, what's she doing with this? Because it's not all about looks. It's not all about the body being chiseled and all kind of stuff. I mean, we were all like that. You know what I'm saying? But you can't help who you fall in love with. And I think a lot of people let good mates get away from them. Because they on this, I don't, we were friends, you like a brother to me, you like a sister to me, that's garbage. You know what I'm saying? If you're feeling like that, say it.
Well,
I think even if one feel that way and the other one don't, I think you still say it and work through it.
Okay. Well, I want to clarify something, and then I want us to take a commercial break. I totally believe in the concept of being friends and seeing what can evolve, but there's being friend. No, I think what you thought I was saying was that I won't date anyone that I'm friends with. No, this is what I mean. I might have dated this person and discovered that we're not right for each other as potential mates.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I don't want to not continue maybe hanging out with them, going to shoot pool, watching football, those, doing something culturally, you know, going to museums and stuff like that, because that's good. But once I put you in that friend zone, because maybe there's no chemistry, passion, intimacy, that it's not right, it's not lining up, you go into the friend zone.
Mm-hmm.
Once you go into the friend zone, it's been my practice not to let you back out of there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's only after a careful assessment has been done that this person is not right for me and I'm not right for them as potential intimate partners.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are friendships, there are people that come into your life that, you know, you start off slow, becoming a friend, and slide into a relationship. There's
mm-hmm.
nothing wrong with that. I'm in complete support of that. I'm just saying.
What about the people you've known your whole life?
Okay, right. Okay, what
or
about people I've known my whole life?
That's what I'm saying. Friends who you've known your whole life. People who you felt, this has been my friend my whole life. So I could never see. I've heard, you know, friends, people say that. Well, nah, because I've been knowing you all my life, and, you know, you're like a brother to me, or you're like a sister. You'd be like, come on, cut the nonsense.
But no, it's not nonsense, because there's some friends that I grew up with my whole entire life. I couldn't see myself kissing them. Because I just don't feel that way about them.
Right.
Because,
I'm
you know,
saying,
it goes back to something that Derek said last night. And it's so
mm-hmm.
true. You like what you like.
Right. And
okay,
that's what I'm saying.
So
I'm saying, but don't
maybe one or more of my friends that I grew up with, I'm not liking like that.
All right. And that's nothing wrong with that. I'm saying that if you start to feel that way, don't try to fight the fact that you're feeling that way, because anything could change that.
Hmm.
Don't fight the fact that you change that you don't want to do that because your attitude is, I've been knowing this person all my life. That has nothing to do with it. If you start falling for someone, you fall in love with someone, you fall in love with them. I don't care how long you know them. And if you've known them your whole life, who's better to fall in love with than your best friend or someone you've known that long? Or have
well,
that kind of
you know, unfortunate for me, I don't have any people that I've grown up with, that I've known my whole life, that we have things in common, that are single.
Right, I hear you.
You okay?
I'm
they
just throwing
all are married
it out there.
Or
I'm not
committed
you.
Relationships. The ones that I would even consider, possibly. Now, before we go to commercial break, because we need to go to commercial break, and then I'm going to be bringing Carl Joseph on from Jericho Roads. We're going to finish up our conversation about his organization and domestic violence. But I just want to say this. Recently, it's been happening to me my whole life. You know, Ricky, it's been happening
mm-hmm.
to me my whole life. I'll have a friend, maybe somebody that I grew up with, maybe somebody that I work with, maybe somebody that I met by chance. They're my friend, and they're feeling me, and I'm not feeling them. And it causes
mm-hmm.
all hell breaks out, all breaks loose, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're not on the same page, because what they do is, they'd be like, oh, okay, you just want to be friends, Bree? That's cool. We could be friends. And then, you know, a month, 6 months, a year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years go by, and now all of a sudden you want to come bring your ass out the friend zone.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to bring yourself out of the friend zone when I've never given you the indication that I wanted you to come out of the friend zone.
Yeah, it shouldn't work like that, though. But,
oh, boy. Well, you know, we could continue this debate, but we're going to go to a commercial break.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We're going to bring Carl Joseph on, and we're going to finish are very, we had a very interesting conversation on domestic violence. And when he comes on, I want us to talk about the whole Rihanna, Chris Brown situation. So we are going to take the commercial break, and we will be back in just a moment.
It is very common to hear people use the phrase, I'm going to be me, 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 me. I'm not changing for anybody. And they use that phrase a lot of times to suggest that nothing's wrong with them and they're fine with being who they are. But here's a question. What happens when being you leaves you with only you? You know, like you're acting the way you act and people leave the room.
You lose two or three friends at a time.
You talk to the mirror more than you talk to your best friend.
You take long walks in the park holding your own hand.
My suggestion is, don't change. Don't change.
Don't change.
Because, after all, you like being you. Now, here's some problems with being you. Not considering you may end up walking through the room holding your own hand by yourself. But that's okay, because guess what? You're still being you. So, if you're liking it, I'm loving it. And remember, don't stop being you.
Don't you change, baby.
Not for anybody. Even yourself. This has been Mark Said It in under a minute.
And we are back. But guess what? I ain't feeling the love from my brother tonight.
Oh, God. He ain't feeling the love. Oh,
he ain't feeling what I'm saying. But that's all right. We can come back to that. But right now, we're going to bring on our guest from last night who was gracious enough to make time to come back on the show again because we were having such an intense conversation, but we had to go to our next segment. So he's back. And his name is Carl Joseph, and he's the program director of Jericho Roads.
Buddy, how y'all doing?
Carl.
Hey, how you doing?
Blessings.
Hello, Sabrina.
How are you? You can tell he's a program director because he's all official. He called me Sabrina. Hello, Carl.
How you doing? Hi, Red.
Red, hi, honey, how are you?
Okay.
Well, we want to welcome you back. By popular demand, we got a lot of great feedback from you participating last night on the show. There were a couple of people that reached out to me via text, and, you know, they were appreciative of the fact that you came on and, you know, talked about your cause and describe the warning signs that we all should look out for.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to bring you back to further expand on that. And then I wanted to get your thoughts on the whole Rihanna, Chris Brown situation. And as I was just saying to Ricky, you know, it's not my practice to do do-overs, which we had that show, and we're going to do a do-over show about the do-over.
Mm.
You know, I don't go back. And
okay.
Rihanna took Chris Brown back. What do you think about that? How do you feel about that?
How do I feel about that? Some people think that they change. Well, you can't, nothing don't change your spots that quickly. Since the time of that whole incident, he has had some violent situations come out, but he just hasn't physically hit anybody. But, you know, as I understand it, he grew up and saw domestic violence as he was growing up as a kid. And, you know, kids absorb what they see around them.
Uh-huh.
So just given truly the right situation, it will still come out. And her going back, I don't get that. I really don't. I think it sends a negative message to young women because she's such a popular young lady. But some women believe he has changed or that person has changed. And I just don't believe that happens just like that.
Yeah. You know what I wanted to ask you, and then I know Red, she might have something to add to this conversation. But
I have something to add to it, too.
Oh, okay. Well, you not left out because you still on the line. I ain't,
mm-hmm.
I ain't bring out the Apollo hooker on you, so you good.
Yeah, and when the first incident happened, we really don't know what happened in that car.
Exactly.
We really don't know what happened in that car. All the media, you basically cannot believe anything the media said, and they basically really didn't talk about what actually happened.
Okay. They didn't speak about Tiger Woods, but here's the question.
Right.
when his wife kind of went off on him. But here's what I wanted to goodness, I kind of lost my thought, but I wanted to ask you, you know what? I lost it. Ricky?
Well, Rick wanted to interject something, so let Rick
explain. Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to say this. Like, we really don't even know what was going on in that relationship, okay? Because we keep talking about Chris Brown being the violent one. Now, I'm opposed to violence.
Period.
On women, men, animals, the land, whatever you want to go. I'm against all that. Nobody has no business putting their hands on nobody.
Right.
But if you put your hands on somebody, be prepared to get hit back. That's the way I look at it.
I agree.
Let me just finish this point.
Okay.
Rihanna is also very violent, and no one focuses on the fact that Rihanna was violent. The inside word was that while he was driving, she started hitting him, trying to gouge his eyes while he was driving. Now, I got an uncle who was drunk one time sitting in the back of me.
Gouge your eyes while you driving?
Yeah, while he was driving. So
she would die in the car, too. Why would she gouge his eyes while he was driving?
Some people don't care.
But the thing about it, when you're angry, you don't reason.
Exactly.
I could buy
it. Hold on a second. One more thing. Now, he reacted to that. Right?
Right.
What he should have did, what his publicity people should have did, was spoke about what Rihanna used to do, because the word was is that she used to hit on him and beat on him all the time, and he would not fight her back. And then this just blew up, and he lost it. Now, personally, he should have left. Now, 2 weeks after that incident in the car, she went into a jewelry store and slapped the clerk because he couldn't get what she wanted. You see what I'm saying? So we got to stop focusing in on Chris Brown. What about Rihanna? She went back because she know it wasn't always about just Chris Brown. She knows she had a hand in all that stuff, too.
Yeah, I truly believe that. I just think that the whole thing was focused on him. And she may have provoked him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he may have been just trying to defend himself, but he just went off. Once he made that first hit after she hit him, maybe he just went off. But we really don't know what happened. Now, it could have been self-defense, but it wasn't portrayed that way. But we really don't know what happened. But for conversation's sake, just to say it wasn't self-defense.
Right.
That maybe she did catch him on the phone. There was another woman on the phone, and she was going off, and he was like, shut up, woman, and start hitting on her. In that sense, I think it was
totally
wrong.
Totally wrong. And he did everything he deserved.
Okay,
so
here's what I wanted to say earlier, which is a perfect segue to what is being discussed right now. Do you think it's possible for, and this is directed to you, Cole, because this is what, you know, this is the organization,
mm-hmm.
your program
involved.
Director.
Yeah.
Do you think it's possible that an abuser can actually be reformed? Sometimes when an abuser is found guilty of domestic battery, he is mandated by the court to undergo domestic
some
violence
training and all that.
Anger management,
mm-hmm.
anger management, community service, this, that, and the other.
Well, let me answer that. A friend of mine that used to work for Safe Horizon, he was in charge of the men. And I asked him, I said, why did you leave and start your own organization? And his answer to me was that he felt that the state mandated program did not work. Because if someone is forced to do it and they're not ready, they ain't going to get help. But one of the things he did say to me was that, and this was very key for me, and that's why he started his organization called A Call to Men, which is A Call to Men is an organization that says to end violence against women. That's what they're all about, changing the dichotomy of manhood into healthy masculinity. So I said, so he said, because he felt the Safe Horizon program did not work, right? But he said he happened to be in a situation with an abuser, and the abuser was not following the guidelines for the program. And he said, okay, I got to kick this boy out. Now, if he gets violent with me, I'm going to have to man up and can't defend myself, right? So he said when he was in a room with him, he said to him, I'm going to have to remove you out of the program. He said, and he said he's a karate expert, so he was trying to gear up just in case the guy got violent. The boy sat there, he said he balled his fist, he got up and walked by him and was about to leave the room. He said, I wish you would reconsider. And he said to me, did that boy just control his anger? I said, yes, he did. So don't tell me he can't control his anger when he's with the woman. Because he just controlled it with me. So a lot of times we realized that a lot of times perpetrators, when they're exposed, they will stop. The ones, when they're exposed. That's why it's so important that you speak out. I did an interview on a radio show one time, and one gentleman called in. He said, I was beating my wife, and the minute his wife started talking about it and telling their friends and telling their neighbors and telling their family members, and she spoke out, he stopped and said, what am I doing? And he stopped. He stopped beating on her because he was exposed. That's just one part of it. So I do think they can be reformists. Maybe some can, and I have a whole spiritual aspect on it that I'm not going to get into it right now, but I'm just saying I think that sometimes going to church helps. I do. It all depends on the type of church that you're going to. I have seen perpetrators get prayed for in church, and they did stop hitting their woman. And the women would expose them. They would get up and speak. And say, my wife, my husband beat me. My husband battered me. And because he was exposed, it put an embarrassing note on him. Do they all care about that? It all depends upon the personality of that person. But I do truly believe they can be reformed. Yes, I can. I do believe a person. And a person wants to control their anger, they can control it if they want to. It definitely depends on the person. And then sometimes, because of this whole attitude, like we talked about before, Sabrina, about control, it's not about not control. I just want to control you. That's what I feel most powerful. I might not be powerful anywhere else, but when it comes to male, I feel I can control you. I'm just going to use that brute, I wouldn't even call it masculine, that brute, quote-unquote, thing they say, manhood. I'm just going to use that against you because I can. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I believe in the power of prayer and so on and so on, but you have ministers out there. You have ministers out there who used to beat their wives.
But
look at
true.
Al Green used to beat the mess out of his wife.
And it's so funny.
And locked his door and stuff in cars and stuff like that.
And it's so funny you talked about the church, because I kept saying this to myself. I kept saying, well, why is domestic violence high rated amongst police officers and pastors? I said, there's a high rate of it among pastors. And I'm saying, well, something is wrong with that picture, because the church is supposed to be the place I'm supposed to be getting help, not getting beat.
Yep.
And the thing about it for me was that I go to this domestic violence breakfast every year, this faith-based domestic violence breakfast. And I'm saying to myself, I said to the person I put together, I said, Brooklyn is the borough of churches. Where's all the African-American churches preaching here? How come you don't invite them? She said, we do invite them, but they don't come. So I'm like, why? And a lot of them said because they are beating their wives. Not all of them, but some are. And I've had this discussion with other black ministers too. They say, yeah, man, a lot of that is going on right in church. So my point was trying to get – one of the goals of your career was trying to get a group of men in churches to say, okay, this is an issue that we need to deal with, because if we can't help the young men that are out of church, until we get the ones to help in church –
Mm-hmm.
So the goal was to begin to start up a group session in churches where you have maybe a professional psychiatrist, not the pastor, a professional person who's been to school, who knows what to do and knows how to handle the situation. Because because of my, I mean, I've heard pastors say, no, I can't help you with that. You really got to go get professional help for that. And I think that's truly necessary. And like I talked to you before, and I think especially in our community, because we're so taught not to express our emotions, not to express our anger. And it's all pinned up inside there, and then it comes out in violent manners. We never learned how to handle or shift our anger into the proper place where it could be. I mean, even myself, I was conscious enough to be aware of my own anger. I said, one night, somebody did something, and that thing upset me so much. And I said, wait a minute, Carl. My anger, the level of anger that you're at, is not called for this situation. So I had to realize within myself there was something different. This is bothering, but it's not coming from what they're doing. It's coming from somewhere else. But I acknowledge that. You know what, people don't acknowledge that where it's coming from? They just allow, where is this coming? You have to stop and say, where is this coming from? And like I said before, sometimes you have to be outside the box and want accountability in your life for someone to tap you on your shoulder and say, man, you see what you're doing? You don't realize what you're doing? You understand what you're doing? Because they sometimes you don't see it. You don't see it. And I think that's what we need in our community. I think we need to be held more accountable. Accountability is really important. And you wanting the help to stop. Because a lot of people are angry out here. I mean, in Brooklyn alone. I mean, I just go around in Brooklyn because I'm from here. But I see scenarios where people will literally kill somebody and get almost stab somebody for something so small and so minute.
Right.
I'm like, yo, this is much deeper. This anger is not coming from this.
Yeah.
This is much deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to get to address it in our, in particular, I'm talking because I'm black, we got to address it in our communities. Something has to be done. Something got to be done. And I've been approaching other men in different churches, and they're like, you know, you're right, man, because this thing, our brothers are not learning how to take that anger and convert it or direct it in the proper way.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah, and these brothers, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying it's an emotion, and you know you have to learn how to channel the emotions. Now,
right, exactly.
You know, we talk about domestic violence, and you know, I agree with you. Most of the time, it focuses around men being the abuser, but there are a lot of women abusers also that we don't focus in on.
No,
I have watched men, and I have myself been with a woman who would get you angry. You try to walk out the door. She stands in the way. She's pushing you. She's hitting you. You know, you ain't going nowhere. Blah, 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 blah. Like, you're asking for the behind whip.
Right.
You know, I'm not going there with you, blah, 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 this and that. You got to. But see, this is the thing. No one really likes to focus in on, because you know what? Men don't want to admit that they're being beat up by their woman.
Oh, yeah, we have this discussion all the time.
Hey, I want to interject right there. Because I'm going to briefly make a comment about my own personal situation,
okay.
And then we're going to go to commercial break.
Okay.
I have been a victim of domestic violence twice. The first time it happened, my partner pushed me down a flight of stairs. And he pushed me down a flight of stairs because... And I'm just going to tell the truth about it. Tell the truth and shame the devil, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my ex pushed me down the stairs because he had some pent-up aggression about what was going on in our relationship at the time. It was 11 o'clock at night. His brother came over and wanted to wake, at that time, my 3-year-old son up to play. I worked in the city. We lived in Suffolk County, Long Island. And I had to go to work in the morning. I had to be on the platform at the railroad station at 7:32. But before 7:32, I had to get my son to the nanny. And he got mad at me because, you know, I'm sleeping. I hear my son up laughing and joking in the basement. And I call downstairs and tell my son to come upstairs, and he tells me that my son ain't coming upstairs. I said, excuse me? Why? Wait, at 7:32, he's already at work. And I came midway down the stairs where he was sitting on the step, We had words. I told my son, I looked at my son, I said, go back to bed right now. My son said, good night, Daddy, and walked upstairs past us. My ex got mad at me and pushed me down the stairs, and I fell backwards. You know what I did? I subscribed to Ricky's point of view. I went back up to the middle of the steps, grabbed my ex-husband, and pulled us both down the stairs and beat the shit out of him because he put his hands on me. Now, did I act in anger and retaliation? Yes. Did he have his, did he have any right putting his hands on me and pushing me down the stairs in front of our three-year-old son? No.
Right. And absolutely, and that's what I'm talking about, though. I'm talking about when it gets down to about self-defense.
Okay.
But that's what I'm saying. But when it gets down to that, he had no right to do that in the first place. He hit you. He threw you down the stairs. You went back up there, grabbed him, and pulled him back down the stairs in retaliation and anger, okay? It's the same thing. I've seen women spit in men's faces. That's the lowest thing you can do to a person is spit in their face. How can spit in their face?
Now, what I saw here with your ex-husband was that you bruised his ego in front of his son.
Excuse me?
You bruised his ego in front of his son. Because he had one directive and you had another. So he felt like you demeaned him in front of his little boy.
Okay, well, first, I used my inside voice to reason with him.
Right.
To say, you know, I got to go to work in the morning. You know, Glenn is on a schedule. You know, Glenn has got to go to bed on time. Because if he's tired in the morning, he's going to act up. It's going to delay me. I'm going to be late. I have an hour and 45-minute commute to work.
Right.
One
That's
way.
Reasonable.
I cannot be late. Okay? So Glenn has to go to bed now. And I use my inside voice once, twice, and then the third time, because anybody who know me know I don't like to repeat myself now, especially my son. I looked at Glenn, and I said, go to bed right now. And he said, he walked right up to his father, gave him a kiss, said, good night, Daddy, and went to bed.
Yeah, but I,
so
the
if
issue
my
was
ex,
the issue is,
his
I said,
ego
well,
was bruised,
right.
I, you know what?
Not if, to say that he's wrong, not to say you were wrong. I'm just saying what he felt.
Okay, and you know what? And you know
now,
what?
And what he didn't do was reason out what you were saying.
And,
what you
but
said
you
was
know
very
what?
Reasonable, was very
it, and he made it worse by putting his
right.
hands on him. Now, let
right,
me
right.
give
he
you
had
a
no business
side.
Doing it. But that's what
See,
Carl
said. I am a martial
that's my,
artist.
But that's my point of what I'm saying about men not knowing how to reason and jumping off before they even think. You see, I think a mature man thinks and then acts.
Mm-hmm. Okay, see, I want to pause you right there because I want to tell you the second story.
Okay.
I'm a martial artist. I've been a martial artist since I was 5 years old.
Okay,
I'm black belt. I'm a black belt in jiu-jitsu, second degree, right?
Did he know that?
Oh, yeah, he knew that, but that's not what I'm about to talk about.
Okay.
The second situation that happened to me, this person was provoking me. I mean provoking to the point of no return. And then when I verbally, because I was taking it, I was taking it, I was taking it and taking it, and then one day I lost it. When I say I lost it, I verbally retaliated and called him a name. Remember when we was kids, our mothers and fathers told us sticks and stones, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't exercise sticks and stones that day.
Okay.
He got upset and put his hands on me. When he put his hands on me, this was several years later, you know what I did? I stood there and took the beating without retaliation. You know why? Because once a person realized, let's just say if I fought him back, person back, I break something on them or I scratch them. They call the police.
Right, they use it against you.
The discovery shows that this person got a mark on them.
Right.
And if it's just me and him fighting, I'm the one that put the mark on him. So now I'm going.
Yeah, you're going. Right.
So I stood there and took the whooping because I didn't want nothing to happen to me.
But yeah, you were reasoning, weren't you?
You said what?
But it goes right back to what I said. You reasoned the situation out.
Well, I'm a reasonable person.
And I had much to lose. That's my point. You reasoned it out, so you were able to act in a calm kind of manner. But I'm talking about the opposite of that. That some people don't know how to do it. And I truly believe in our communities, a lot of our men don't know how to do that. They don't reason because they were never taught how. We're taught from young boys to be violent, to be tough, and we don't reason. Why do you think you hear all the stories that a boy stepped on my sneaker and I said sorry, but they end up killing him?
That's why children need both their parents,
right,
whether they are living together collectively in the household or not. Because it's a man's role to teach his son to be strong and stand upright. And it's a woman's role to teach her son to be compassionate and respectful.
Oh, absolutely.
You got to have that balance.
They have to have that balance, and that's the truth. So the point of the matter at this point is we want to deal with the ones that are imbalanced. Is that fair to say? Let's use that terminology. They so extreme to anger to the point where it's like, yo, you're unreasonable. I remember talking to this young man. I said to him, when I saw him, we had done a job at a church. He was there with his girlfriend, and the women were giving their story, and she was tearing her eyes out. This was a young couple, but he didn't see her crying because she was sitting in the seat in front of him. But I saw it. The next time I saw her, we did a domestic violence seminar at a shelter, and they were there. So I approached her. I said, how y'all get here, man? Last time I saw you, y'all wasn't in no shelter. And he said to me, I lost my job. I said, why? He said, because I had a fight with the boss. I said, you physically fought with the boss? I said, let me tell you something, man. You can't do that. You have a wife and two babies to feed. So that means you got to eat crow for them babies to eat. I said, disrespect you what? I said, you have to feed a kid. So that means you got to control your anger and to get that baby fed. Because right now you feeding off my taxes. You're living off my taxes. But our point, but that's my point. His anger was so unreasonable. I said, you got to think about the bigger picture, not your personal ego and how he made you feel. I got to swallow crow because I got a baby to feed. You don't have another job, right?
Right. Absolutely right. What we're going to do right now, Carl, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, because I'm even receiving text messages that, you know, I haven't even shared my full story, but I'm receiving text messages from people who are listening. They're like, wow, I never knew that happened. You know, so we're going to take a break.
Okay.
And when we come back, we're going to continue the conversation.
Okay.
With Carl Joseph of Jericho Roads. And I'm sure Red, I know I was talking to Red earlier. She has some things to add to the conversation.
Yeah, I do. I'm just waiting.
When we get back.
Yeah, we'll give you that space when you come back, all right?
Okay.
All right.
If you didn't tune into the Bree Life radio show on Wednesday, this is what you missed.
Hey, Mark. Mark, check it out, Mark. If they give it up too easy sometimes, I mean, if vagina was a stock, it would plummet. It would plummet. Because you give it away too easy.
You hear that, ladies? There is a brother on the line that's saying that the ladies are giving it up too easy.
And this?
We want a lot more than sex, too. We want to be loved. We want to be respected. We want a whole lot of... will make the sexual experience that much more enhanced.
We can't forget about this.
Tony, you heard that. You know she's taking the easy way out of this one. You know what we're doing. Come on, Bree.
Wow. No, listen. I say you have to be honest. You have to be honest with your partner of what the deal breakers are.
It's real talk about real life. Inhale and breathe light.
No, we breathing. You know we breathing light. We ain't breathing heavy now. Right.
It's the Bree Life Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. Catch us at blogtalkradio.com/Bree Life.
What you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree Life.
How we live in life.
Hey.
I just wanted to get my brother to pay attention and let him know I love him. And we're back, people. It's the Bree Life Radio Show. You are listening to us on Freestyle Thursdays. I'm joined tonight with my co-host, Red Sable. And we have our special guest, Carl Joseph, and Ricky. My brother's on the line. So
right.
I want to thank everyone for sticking around, and thank you for coming back to the show again, Carl. We really appreciate it. I want to first of all, I want to address some of the text messages I just received, because there were a couple of people that said, "Damn, I didn't know that all that was going on back then. I didn't know that, or I can't even see you reacting that way." Different set of circumstances, dealing with different people will place you in a situation where you act accordingly or you act different. I'm not proud of my retaliation in that first case scenario because, I was reacting to being pushed down the stairs. I think all the time when I do think about or talk about that situation that I could have handled it differently. But mind you, I'm not taking on any type of victim's mentality. I'm not taking on the weight or the blame because I don't think I was wrong. I was giving my son instructions, much-needed instructions, because it was the middle of the night. I'm not apologizing for it. I'm just saying that, you know, there's always more than one way to handle a situation. And I think Carl support what I'm saying, especially from the abuser's perspective. There's so many things that a person can do, whether they are the man, whether they are man or woman, who are the aggressor in the situation. It is always the best policy to walk away. If you feel you are so enraged and upset and angered in a situation, you can't go wrong with walking away. Now, again, right. To reiterate what Ricky said about the fact that there are women, he was saying specifically that there are some women that don't allow you to walk away. They're wrong.
They're
dead wrong, they can wind up dead because they're blocking someone from walking away. They could be saving their lives and the lives of everybody in the house or even extended family and friends by just allowing that person to walk away.
But, you know, we talk human beings, man, because some people get turned on by that. They get into fights and stuff, then right after the fight, they run to the bedroom. Now, I always tell people, when you want to talk about domestic violence, let's discuss it all the way around. Let's not just leave it on men because it's all the way around. And if you don't believe that women are just as violent as men, you ever watch Snapped? You ever watch Deadly Women? You ever watch Women Behind Bars? You understand?
You know, you're talking about three different shows. You mentioned it three different shows. And three different shows. And all three, all three of those shows are different cause and effects of why women are behaving the way they are. But, you know,
right,
you mentioned,
the same thing with
mentioned one in particular, Snapped. That's a very poignant title. You have to wonder why a person snaps. And see, I always try to be unbiased and leave the generic. I'm not being gender specific because I know that violence knows no gender. Okay?
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's my point.
But men talk about, oh, you know, a woman and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, why did this woman snap? Why did this woman snap?
But you know what? It's not always about they snap because the man did something to them. A lot of those shows are based on the woman wanted the insurance. She was messing around with somebody else. She was just abusive in general. You know, you're talking about one or two particular shows where the man did something to her and she snapped. Like, I had never had a problem with that woman who snapped, who put her husband through school. He became a lawyer, got rich, and then dogged her out and left her for a younger woman and all that other stuff, and then start trying to take the kids from her and all that other stuff. Yeah, I had no problem with that. I had no problem with her snapping. I'm like, yo, look what you did to this woman. You know what I'm saying? But what I'm saying is that when you talk about violence and domestic violence, it's all the way around. We keep tending to stop because most of the time it's men. But what it is, men don't talk about the violence that women portray on them a lot of times. I grew up in a house. I didn't grow up, but my mother dated a man who used to abuse her. Every time he got drunk, he'd come in and he'd fight her and beat her. We had to leave the house 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. You got to call the cops and all this other nonsense. So I know about all that. Where I grew up, I never went there. Never went there with fighting no women or beating up on no women. Wasn't who I was. But the bottom line is that I've had women who've not only attacked you physically, but they abuse you mentally.
Right.
They do things to you mentally. It's, you know, we got to stop this with men. Any man, that man who did that, that Oprah did that show on, where that man had that woman standing up for 3 hours, where he was abusing
right.
her and had his own kids taping it, that man needed to be hung.
Right.
Forget jail. You hang him. That's total abuse of power and the fact that woman was afraid of him. I'd have killed him myself. But the bottom line is that it ain't just men. You have women who do just the same thing to men, and they're afraid of their wives. And we don't talk about that. Oprah, all the Oprahs and Ivana Van Zandt and all of them, they can sit up there, oh, the men this and that. When Oprah was interviewing Whitney Houston, she said, God bless her. She said, oh, did Bobby Brown never put his hand, he ever hit you? She said, he smacked me once. He hit you? She said, yeah, but because I was beating on him, I was hitting him, and he slapped me to stop me from continuously beating on him. Then she was like, oh, there was no story there. You want to find out what the man beating on him. Forget, no, you should have said, well, what you putting your hands on him for?
Right.
You got no business putting your hands on, nobody has no business putting their hands on nobody.
Okay.
Period.
Well, this is what I want to do right now because Red has been extremely quiet.
I'm just really chomping at the bit and trying to jump in, but, you know.
Okay. Please, jump in.
Okay, so I want to make a quick piggyback off of what Rick just said, and then I'm going to give some backstory on my situation. Oprah has made a statement publicly that she supports Rihanna and Chris Brown getting back together. Let's just say that. She's supporting it wholeheartedly. She said that if that's what they want to do and that feels right for them, then let them go and let them be happy. That's not something that she would have done 5, 10 years ago. She never would have done that. But she did send out a report stating that she supports them getting back together. So,
you know, what is the big thing about Oprah? We got
to talk about it. She's not God.
It wasn't about Oprah. It's just I'm just saying because you said that Oprah doesn't, she's against men, against men, against men, but she is supporting this relationship, and that says a lot about her mindset and what she's doing now. I don't know if that's her way of getting people to continue to talk about her or whatever the case may be, but I do know I did watch the interview with her and Rihanna, and when Rihanna broke down and told that woman that that was her first love, something is going on with Rihanna. So there's a lot of backstory that we do not know, and there's a reason why they're back together. And I recently heard some psychiatrist or psychologist, whatever the case may be, stated that a woman goes back 8 times before she leaves a man who abuses her. I don't believe that. I don't know where they came up with those statistics from, but that's what they said. So I don't know if this was Rihanna's 5th time, 6th time, 3rd time, or whatever, but the abuse is going both ways in that relationship, and obviously Oprah must know it. Obviously there must have been some type of healing or whatever enough for them to want to mend that relationship, because not only did she support it, but her parents and his parents support it too. So, but anyway, getting off of them, I want to go back a little bit to what Carl was saying earlier about how young men, about young men and the church and how you feel like they can change. I'm not saying that they can't. I'm saying that I'm all for men who can change. And maybe
but you have to want that. You have to want it.
Right,
if you don't want it, there's a waste of time.
You have to want it. But what I'm trying to get at is this. The gentleman who got up with his fist boiled and walked past the situation and decided he was never going to hit his woman again, maybe he's not hitting her. But we don't know if he's not emotionally abusing her.
Yeah, we don't know.
Her, taking money from her, keeping her home in the house, away from her friends and family. We don't know what he decided that he can still do without putting his hands on her. Because I believe that, yes, you can change, but there is still that piece of that root still within you. And eventually, if pushed in the wrong direction, it could come out and it could flourish again.
I'm not saying with everybody. I mean, with some people it can, and with some people, like you said, it can flare up again.
Right. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that to say that when you said that, I just got this vision of this man thinking, okay, I can't kick your ass. Excuse my French, but, you know, we grown. I can't kick your ass, but you know what? You're not leaving this house for a week. You want to tell people I beat you? Okay. Well, I'm going to call you names now. I'm going to belittle you and make you feel like this. There will be other ways for him to manifest that anger because he still hasn't gotten the help that he needs. Maybe he doesn't want it. Maybe he doesn't know where to get it, but he still hasn't gotten the help that he needs because he's still angry, hence the whole boiled up fence thing.
Right. Well, he don't think nothing wrong with him. He don't think nothing wrong with him.
Right, there's a lot of people don't think anything wrong with him. Let me ask the two women. Let me. And Rick was talking about earlier.
That call before you.
Did Rick make
her? I've been patient.
Okay, go ahead, Rick. Go ahead.
So now, the other thing I wanted to say is that I grew up in a very volatile situation. My mother was a single mother. She had 5 kids.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up listening to her and seeing her be beat on, stomped, kicked, stabbed, taken to the hospital, and go back to the same man just to have it done all over again. We were so abused and we lived in such a dysfunctional situation that every single one of us has some kind of, I don't know if it's anger or some of us take it out on ourselves or on others because of the way that we grew up. Because we have a positive role model in the house to show us that these are the things that you need to do in order for you to sustain some type of happy lifestyle. And that is all because she was also a second generation person who grew up in a household where she saw her mother as the abuser.
Right.
And so it just continued on. So, therefore, in her household, she did not know how to parent. So she raised kids who grew up to not really know how to take care of themselves, except for defending themselves in situations where they either ended up with abusers or became abusers.
Right. That's usually what happens.
It is definitely a cycle. However, in my case, in breaking the cycle, I had to go through all kinds of crap in order to break the cycle of my own. And I had to learn through, self-discovery and many, many years of counseling myself that abuse comes in many different forms and frames and formats. But it took
right.
a battery for me to figure that out. And it wasn't just physical. It was emotional. It was mental. It was, okay, I'm not going to slap you. I'm not going to punch you. I'm not going to hit you with this pipe or this extension cord or bap you in the head with this cast iron pan anymore, but I'm going to call you a slut and
right.
a whore, even though you bore my children. So
right.
those type of abusive images never leave you as the victim or the victor. So
oh, no, they don't.
When you try to come out of those situations and you open doors to new ways of living and you raise your children to have different paths so that they can go in life, like I agree that a man needs to be around his children in order for them to see a male role model, but I became a single mother myself, and my son has never put his hands on another woman. My son is just as macho as the next dude standing next to him. But he
right.
is not a volatile child. I don't know how I did it.
Well, let me ask you something.
He had male role models in his life, but he is not.
Yeah, but would you remove him out of the violent situation?
I removed him from the situation when he was a baby, so he wouldn't remember it. Now,
right,
sister,
exactly. I commend you on that.
Right.
I commend you on that.
So his sister remembers, yeah, and I appreciate that. And his sister does remember some of it, but although she was younger, but she grew. See, her sister, her personality is completely different from his. He grew up
right.
very much like his mother. We're very laid back. It takes a lot to push us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the last time I had a fight, except for when I was in sixth grade. There was this Greek girl who kept on bothering me for weeks. I kept telling her, leave me alone, leave me alone, leave me alone. And then one day I snapped and grabbed her, snatched her by her hair, pulled her across the lunchroom table and kicked her ass. But that was sixth grade. I haven't had a fight since. However, my daughter, she has this anger in her. And the anger comes from the fact that she's been missing her father and she needs and wants that male role model, even if she doesn't do nothing more than curse him out. For some reason, she needs that. And so her way of acting out is differently than my son. My son will walk away. My daughter will fight you. You and she don't care who you are. She will fight you. That's just how she deals. So I don't know how I managed to raise two different types of personalities, two different kids in the same damn household, raised in the same damn way, and they're both so contrastedly different.
Well, who they are.
Right.
I mean, you have kids who are twins, and one completely different from the other.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just different. It's just so, different things. But I commend you for taking your children out of the situation. But I would assume you had the support around you where you were able to do that.
No, I didn't. Actually,
so what
Safe
you do?
Horizon saved my life. Safe Horizon,
okay.
Before it became Safe Horizon, with Victim Services, and they saved my life. And they're the ones who came and helped me to intervene. There was I didn't have any family support because I was isolated by him.
Oh, okay, so they helped you. Well,
so
you just made a choice in time so it wouldn't damage your children.
I had to because I had no choice. I was going to die or
right.
I had to make the choice to live.
That has to tell me you love yourself and had a healthy self-esteem about yourself and say, I don't have to live with this.
Yeah.
Which
and all of that rings true today, But mm-hmm. it took me damn near 25, almost 30 years to understand that. I was a kid when all of this stuff was happening, so I didn't know what the hell I was doing half the time. So mm-hmm. most of the stuff that I learned through observation or learned through counseling or learned through seeing others do it the right way for me to be able to understand it, because it certainly wasn't coming at home, from home. So my relatives have long since passed. My mom passed, and God rest her soul, and my father and stuff like that. So I really, it was trial and error with me. So when I speak to a lot of young girls and I tell them that you can't, you have to stand up for you, no matter what that meant for you to have to do, whether you had to get up in the middle of the night, pack your kids and get out, or you had to knock someone down the stairs, or you had to stab somebody, you have to do what you have to do in order to protect you. But
and sometimes, just if I may interject, with the second situation that I described, I was living immersed in a complete domestic violence situation. It did not become physical until the end of the relationship.
Yeah, that's usually
and
how
it
goes.
Only took one time for that man to put his hands on me, and that
and
was enough. That's
well, that
because I'm a strong-willed individual.
Yeah, but see, that's the
everyone
point
is a who is
not
a,
like
who
that.
Is a victim of domestic violence. It's not always as strong.
My
abuser controlled me with
mm-hmm.
finances, isolated
mm-hmm.
by moving me about 400 miles away from my family.
That's all the signs, yeah.
Completely misrepresented himself for that. At the end of the 4 years that we were together, I completely found out things about him that I should have known from day one, which would have encouraged me or provoked me to make a very different decision. So my abuse came, it started financial, because when he took me 400 miles away from my family, being isolated, I had to rely on him. I wasn't working in this new state, so all my resources, my well-being, my way of life came from him. He didn't like when I finally went out and got a job, because now I'm independent. Mm-hmm. And he always wanted to keep tabs on me. He tried to do things like, you know, call me when you get to work. Call me when you're leaving work. Call
mm-hmm.
me when you're getting home. I'm like, what? You know? Oh, no. This is just a little. And see, because of the resistance, and then when I wasn't working once again, he started back with the verbal abuse, the emotional abuse, the financial abuse. And after almost a year of that, when I pushed back, he didn't like it. And that's when the physical abuse started. And like again,
okay.
I said, it only happened one time.
Mm-hmm.
And when it happened that one time,
mm-hmm.
I pressed charges. And again, I need you to understand, here's why I took that ass whooping. Because I was 400 miles away from my support system.
Right.
I had no money. And I had a 8 or 9 year old son at that time.
But
so,
it goes right back to what I
just
said, is that every domestic violence situation has to be looked at differently.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So I had to be very strategic in
mm-hmm.
how I exited, because I wasn't walking by myself.
Yeah, because it kind of annoys me when I hear people give this cross the board kind of answer. Well, you just should have left. I said, you're not looking at all the situation.
No, it's not like that.
Well, how could
it's
you stay
like
with that? Because I wouldn't stay.
Yeah.
I said, that's a very ignorant statement you're making, because you don't know the whole story.
Exactly.
And here's another problem with some victims, not all. They're afraid to press charges. Well,
yeah.
No. I say not, because it was either I was going to fight back, or he was going to have to face the consequences of putting his hands on me.
Right.
So I pressed charges all the way to the criminal court, and he was found guilty twice in court of domestic battery against me.
Okay.
And I have no, even though there are other things that happen as a result of me standing up and say, you will not put your hands on me and walk away like it didn't happen. But because I stood up and did that, there were other ramifications that came down the line that I had to be subjected to. But mm-hmm. even for the things that I have gone through, I am not sorry. I am not sorry that I stood up and say, no, you will not put your hands on me or potentially another woman in the future mm-hmm. without having to face some consequences.
Right.
So with that,
supposed to be sorry.
That's right. With that in mind, we are going to take a commercial break, our last one for the night. This is great dialogue. And, again, I want to thank Carl for coming back. But we're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be back in a moment.
Okay.
It's the Breed Life Show.
You got to turn it on.
We're Breed Life Show.
You got to turn it on.
It's the Breed Life Show.
You got to turn it on.
Tune in Wednesday and Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, for real talk about real life. Inhale and breathe light. It's the Breathe Life Radio Show on blogtalkradio.com/BRILIFE.
It's the Breathe Life Show.
Breathe Light. Welcome back to the Breathe Life.
Welcome back. It's the Breathe Life Radio Show, and it's Thursday, and you know what we do best on Thursdays. We freestyle. And tonight, we've been joined a second night in a row with some very esteemed co-hosts and guests. We have my co-host, Red Sable.
Hello.
And our guest, Carl Joseph from Jericho Roads.
Hello.
And Ricky. Is he still there, Ricky?
Rick, are you there?
He's here in spirit. So I just wanted to, Red, I know you were making some points there, but when you started talking about some things that were very relevant to my own personal circumstances, I just felt that it was a perfect segue for me to interject that into the dialogue. Because usually most, and you can tell us better, Carl, because you know most of, or if not all, the statistics on how DV starts in a relationship, most often it doesn't start out being physical.
No, most times it starts off. No, most times it starts off real sweet.
Right.
I mean, it starts off sweet. I mean, it doesn't get physical really, like you said, really toward the end. I mean, it starts off nice. You have the honeymoon. They call it the honeymoon season.
Oh, yeah.
And that's in any relationship. You know what I'm saying? But most times it doesn't get physical toward the end. I saw that in the household, and I was like, wait a minute. I see a whole lot of verbal abuse. But I didn't see anybody ever raise a hand at each other in my house until it got toward the end of the marriage between my dad and my stepmother. And I'm like, wait a minute. You're getting to this point. Come on.
Wounds always heal, but that verbal stuff.
But I think the verbal thing is the worst. Yeah, the bruises can heal, but the verbal thing is the worst.
That's the worst, because there are the tone and the words. I don't even know if it's so much as the words, because words are words, but it's
words hurt. Sticks and stones may break my bones, I think, is the words will never harm me, I think, is the biggest lie they teach kids.
Yeah, but it's the tone. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying words are words. But if I'm with, I don't know, there's this thing between girls when we're hanging out with each other, and we'll be calling, certain women, because
I don't always say it, but there's the bitch word. Depending on how you say it and who you're with and who you're around, it comes across different than the man who's trying to beat your behind every night and control you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're out with your girlfriends and she's like, girl, why you just stop being bitchy. And then he's, bitch, I will kick you. It's completely different. You see what I'm saying? So it's the words, the tone behind the words, and the volatile anger in which they're spewed from those words is what stays with you. I was crossing the street and called a slut because there was guys standing at the corner. I don't have no control over where they stand. I'm wearing your shirt. Why would you think that I'm trying to pick up some guys with your man's shirt on? I'm just crossing the street. I don't even know they're even paying me any mind, but you're watching me from the window because you're a control freak. And when I get in the house, I'm called a slut. Why you walk like that? Why walk like what? I'm crossing the street. What are you talking about? I just went to the store.
That's all about controlling. That's all about. That's all about that. And thing. If we teach young girls from a young age, that's all about his insecurities, not yours. Not his. I mean, his,
right.
Not yours.
So I'm just saying that to make a point to the listeners, right, that there are subtleties in the abuse that goes into stages, from the way you are talked to, the tone in which it is used, the name that you are called, the anger for no reason, the going
right
off on you, the accusations that are ridiculous, accusing you of stuff you've never done, just all kinds of things. And this does happen with men, too. And I've dated some men that were stabbed by their girlfriends, shot by their wives. Like, I don't even know why we live in such a violent society. But it's
we got a lot, and I think it has a lot to do with anger. I think it has a lot to do with people, whether it's from their childhood, whatever it is, there's some anger that was just never dealt with. You take it from your childhood into your adulthood, and it's never
mm-hmm
dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
And what
exactly
happens is you end up, and I do blame the mother and the father, because I'm like, all this anger that you perpetuate, this kid is perpetuating this on other people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying, and my point of the matter is, that's why I think it's so important that we get some parenting skills to recognize when we see certain things in our kids. And you can, you know, they're followers instead of leaders. Then you change
mm-hmm
that. You know what I'm saying? But you have to recognize those things for yourself.
You know,
and,
you know, funny you should say that, because, you know, my mother, along with all the old-time people, they always talking about these young people, they need some parenting class because they don't know nothing about raising no damn children.
Yeah,
and
for my own baby, I ask the older people. I said, is this right? Is this okay? You already had your experiences. And they said, no, don't put that on them, baby. That's not good. And they'll tell you, and they'll let me know, because I ask. They said, when you have a baby, teach them how to drink water at an early age, so they'll drink water. So you give them that bottle, also give them some water. So my little girl knows how to drink water.
Mm-hmm.
So I ask questions because I don't know everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know everything, and I think that's what I think. I walk through the streets of Brooklyn, and I see people do some stuff in the street, and I'm like, man, you angry, and you just, they never got help for it.
Yeah, I've seen that.
They just never. No one told them, you need to go see a counselor. You need to go sit down. If your parents are not helping you, get somewhere where someone can help you, because your parents are not helping you.
I agree with that. There was a woman in the store the other day, and this is how you wonder if you should even say anything, and maybe you should just shut up and mind your business, but she was cussing out her child so bad.
Oh,
and
God,
miss. And this little boy, he had to be no more than 5 years old, and she called him every F word,
right,
every stupid. And I
so
was, and
so
it's a young girl.
So what do you think you're creating? You're creating another angry little baby.
Yeah.
Who's going to be very angry, right?
Yeah.
Because my mother talked to me and called me all kinds of names. I'm going to be, you're creating a monster there. You're creating an angry child that's going to come and take it out on some angry, because he's going to hate his mother. He's going to hate his mother. He's going to find some woman to take it out on.
Exactly. It's terrible. It's terrible. And I can only imagine what happened to her in order for her
to feel like it's okay to take it out on him like
right.
that.
Right, and that's my point. The point that Jericho Rose wanted to do is try to help some of the people say, look, you're passing this anger on from one generation to the next. And we're saying, let's stop it from going to the next generation because we're creating some very angry people in this world. And then you're unleashing them on other people.
Well, I'm happy that your organization is in existence. I'm happy that there are many other organizations in existence that are helping and addressing these issues because we're just breeding another generation of very angry people.
Absolutely.
And it may not be my kids are older, so their kids are the kids that are going to reap the horrifying benefits of the kids that are being raised by this anger and this violent situations who
Absolutely.
May not see their 18th birthdays because they're going to be hooked up with some crazy, angry individual who just never got the love and support that they needed at home the correct way. And that's my fear. So I'm glad that your agency is in place and doing what it needs to do and focusing on these young men. There's a show that comes on called Save My Sons. I'm so happy that it's on air, and they are helping a lot of young brothers across the board. They have a lot of celebrities that come on and help mentor these guys and talk to them and stuff like that because they don't know what to do with their anger. And some of them are in two-parent households. There was a young man on yesterday who was in a two-parent household, and he was just robbing, stealing, hurt people, and you know, his thing was, my dad ain't there every day. Y'all separated, so I'm angry.
And there's too many services out here now for you to say you can't get help. You can get help.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just some people just need you to sit down and talk with them, ask them how they're doing, give them a little attention. That will make a world of difference to a child. I know it did for me. If I wasn't getting attention at home, somebody gave me attention, and I was like, man, I like this.
Right.
You know, why am I liking this so much? And I realized I was missing it in my own household.
Exactly. Well, Carl, you know, again, we want to thank you for coming on the show. We want you to come back. Again, the show that I was mentioning to you yesterday with the Fathers Inc. and the other Father Association, American Society of Fathers, Dads and Fathers.
Okay.
We'd like for you to participate in that on that show because it was brought up on one of our past shows how women, more specifically, misuse the legal system to get men locked up because they're trying to exit the relationship or they want the child support, they want them out of the house, all of that. So I think that you can offer a good balance to that show.
Okay.
And we want you to come back. I want you to take a minute or two to just reiterate what your organization does and to talk about the upcoming walk.
Yeah, the walkathon is on October 27th at Battery Park in Lower Manhattan. $10 registration fee, $20 support fee. And to just support, and the money goes toward our Domestic Violence Scholarship Fund, which helps high school students who are doing very well in school, who may have been going up in domestic violence. We want to just give them encouragement and give them a scholarship to help them further their educational endeavors. And there may be a woman or man out there who was in a domestic violence situation, and they're trying to better their lives and want to continue in their education. So the scholarships will help buy a computer, buy some books. So that's what the proceeds will be for, our domestic violence scholarship. So I'm looking forward to people supporting because I think it's needed because people, when they're using the domestic violence situation, they got to get themselves together. Some have to go back to school so they can support themselves. So
exactly.
That's what the scholarship program is for.
Well, again, I want to thank you for coming on the show. I want to take the last minute of the show to throw out one more freestyle that we're going to readdress next week. And please, anytime you want to come on a regularly scheduled show, you know, my Wednesday show or the freestyle, you're more than welcome. We'd love to have you. But
thank you very much.
Waiting for the 102 bus on 3rd Avenue between 39th and 40th Street this afternoon. and it was around, of course, 4:30, 5 o'clock time. And, you know, that's when work lets out, and people are coming out of the buildings and everything. And what I noticed was really unusual, because the building that I was standing in front of, I used to work at. And what I noticed was I saw a lot of white people coming out of these buildings. But I didn't see many people of color. I mean, that just goes to show you the state of our economy and where we are at with this job situation.
That's true.
I barely saw black people in the city around the time that people get out of work. Where are all the black people? That's something we need to think about. But again, I want to thank everyone for listening to the Bree Life Radio Show, our Freestyle Thursday segment. I want to thank my co-host, Red. And I want to again thank our guest, Carl Joseph of Jericho Road. And my brother who's missing in action, Ricky. I'm very glad that everyone and the listeners that called in and participated. We love you. Peace and blessings. Until next time, all the best.
Bye.
Have a good night. Thanks for tuning in.
Oh, where are you?